There are a host of stallions standing for a stud fee of $7,500 this year. Few, if any, can match Proud Citizen's record at stud. He sired 3 stakes winners in the first month of 2012. Believe You Can, a graded stakes winner as a 2-year-old at Belmont last year, won the $125,000 Silver Bullet Day Stakes at the fairgrounds on January 21. That same day, Vamo Egalpierre, making her just her second start in the USA, came from 17 lengths out of it to win the Megahertz Stakes at Santa Anita, getting a mile and 1:34.4 to win by over 3 lengths. Vamo Egalpierre was a grade 1 stakes winner and a champion filly in Chile. As a reminder, Proud Citizen has sired 3 champions. His brilliant Proud Spell earned over $2,131,000 and earned the Eclipse Award after taking such classics as the Kentucky Oaks and the Alabama. And he sires a solid 13% stakes horses, including 9 2011 stakes winners. Now, that's a lot of sire power for $7,500. Proud Citizen won graded stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness. He's a son of Gone West, and he stands at Mr. and Mrs. Baird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Breeding incentives may be available, and see the website at airdriestud.com.
Horse Tales with Ursula Ellis, the horse capital of the world, bluegrass country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursula Ellis.
Good morning, and isn't this a miserable day? It's started out real nice. The track was fast when we got here this morning, when the track opened at 6 o'clock, and we had 16 to 17 works on the fast track, and then during the break, here came the rain, and we've had 12, 14 works on a muddy track. And it's cold out there. It is cold, I'll tell you. Well, anyway, they're still running pretty good out of here, though. Let's see, since last week's show, trainers at the Thoroughbred Center to saddle winners, Jimmy Cargan, Tony Battaglia, Byron G. Scooter Hughes, Alan Crupper and Marco Castaneda. And Marco saddled one yesterday, as a matter of fact. So we're still right at it. And what are we going to do today? Well, Catherine Park is coming in. She owns Valkyrie Stud. Thank you. Jackie just corrected me.
Yeah.
Wait till you see the name of this.
The first syllable.
Wait till you see the name of this horse that she raised. It's the horse that beat Hanson.
Yeah.
In the Holy Bull last weekend. And anyway, she owns Valkyrie Stud, and it's over in Scott County. I'm not exactly sure where it is, but
I think a Valkyrie might be a warbird, Scandinavian warbird or something.
I'll ask Catherine when she gets here. I'm sure she knows.
Yeah.
And she raised this horse's name. It's Algoritmus. And she told me the correct way to pronounce it on the day before yesterday. And, of course, I've forgotten already. But she'll be...
She won't care.
She'll have to straighten me out.
That's right. Anyway. Absolutely.
Well, it'd be handsome. She raised it for Patricia Klusman, and he's by Bernardini. And, he's out of a stakes place mare by Crypto Clearance in right nice pedigree. The second dam was a really tough race mare. And if I'm not mistaken, Catherine bought that for the breeder, the second dam. Won $283,000, ran 5 years, started 56 times with 7 wins and won a stakes. So that's... That's kind of my kind of pedigree. Dr. Doug Byard would be here. Michael Blowen is supposed to come in also. They're running 10 stakes at the fairgrounds today. They're all for breeds, Louisiana breeds.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can get in touch with Steve Moody from Briss, incidentally. And if a chance arises, we will... read something from Joe Palmer. Went to a luncheon at the Thoroughbred Club yesterday. The National Museum of Racing sponsored the Joe Hirsch Award.
Yes.
And for a turf rider. And Joe Palmer was honored there. And Joe's son, Steve, was there. Steve, I think Steve's retired now, but he's been an attorney here in Lexington, living in Midway for a little while.
Well, and he was head of church, too. He was, I think he's Presbyterian.
Is he?
Minister.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, yeah.
Well.
I hope you didn't cuss a bunch.
Well, I tried not to, you know, but sometimes it just slips out. And, of course, I know the Joe's grandsons were very well, you know.
Yeah.
Mark and David, and they were there.
Grandkids.
And all the kids.
Missy. And
yeah. And
Katie and...
Yeah,
and then Mark's
but it was seven. Really nice, and if anybody ever deserved an award, it's Joe Palmer. He died in 1952.
I don't care. There hadn't been anybody right like that since.
Or before. Yeah.
Just brilliant. And, you know, if anybody's interested that wants to read more, of course, there's the book, This Was Racing, and sometimes you can find it on eBay. It's out of print, but... Someone sent us several years ago their collection of all his newspaper columns. And there's one column to a page, and that page is about an inch, that stack's an inch and a half thick.
At least.
We took that to Keeneland.
Yeah.
So anybody wants to do research or anything on Joe Palmer, that is, that's at the Keeneland Library. So.
Yep, we did donate that. It's the best place for it.
Oh, yeah, it'll be taken care of.
Yeah, exactly. Those kind of things, you don't want to lose them. Here comes Doc now and Michael.
Can I say something real quick?
So say something real quick.
Okay. Our webpage has looked like not much of a webpage. And our friend Matt Howard here said go to Lexington Computer Clinic and... They set this business up because they felt like people were being overcharged, you know, because people don't know anything about computers, especially somebody like me. And I went over there, and they have started our new webpage. And I told them, I want to be able to add and subtract stuff from this myself. So what they did is they set it up, and you can go to it today. The shows are on it, and the background's on it. It's real pretty. I'm going to... put slideshows, and you can put up videos, and you can put up all kind of pictures, anything you want. And what they're going to do, you can go and get 30 minutes worth of lessons for $20. You stand right there at the counter. And if they can fix your counter, stand there at the counter, it's like $39.
Mm-hmm.
If they can just stand there and do it. But the prices are just
very reasonable.
My word, I was just shocked.
Yeah.
So, it's inside the Hamburg Meyer. You know that big Meyer store out there, Russ? You go to the far end where it says the bank, and you go in that door and turn right, and it's one of those little rooms over there, and you can stand there. I'm going in Tuesdays and Thursdays and get a, you know, half-hour lesson each time to add to this this webpage. So, pay attention to this thing because it's good. Anyway, there, 10 to 7. Monday through Friday, 10 to 5 on Saturday, closed on Sunday. But their phone number is 263-7374. And there's two guys, David, Aaron and David.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say that I'm not getting paid for that. It's just such an excellent service. I wanted to pass it on.
Yeah. Very good.
All right.
All right. You're not getting paid for that?
No, that was free. I'm going to take video and pictures today, guys, to put on the new webpage.
Very nice.
Yes.
Ooh. Sit down, gentlemen. Michael Blowen, Dr. Doug Byard. And Michael coming in carrying racing form. I guess he's going to give us the loser of the week.
Loser of the week.
And
hey, my loser got scratched last week, too. You know, word's going out.
He
scratched him. 2 weeks in a row. One day they can't. The first time they canceled the whole card.
Yeah.
This time they just pinpointed to my horse.
Doc came in wearing an old friend's jacket, and how much did he charge you for that?
He's paid for that jacket many times.
History was made
over.
Today.
History was
made today. It was a freebie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It didn't cost him anything somewhere then.
Yours is in the mail.
Yeah, right.
That's a pretty fancy coat.
Yeah, it's a good-looking coat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more waterproof than mine. Look, his is beating up, and I'm soaked.
Yeah. Yeah, you are wet. Isn't it a nasty day, though?
It is kind
started
of
started out
day.
All right.
Yeah, I got out of bed early this morning, so I missed most of it.
But we can't complain.
No, no, no. What, for here, this winter?
February 4th today, and
yep.
It's unbelievable.
I didn't do those commercials, did I? I'm going to do them right now, then we'll get right back to you. All right. You guys ready? I'll go.
Whatever you say, go right ahead.
All right.
This is your show. You're the boss. Yeah. Let's remind him of that, can we?
No, don't do that. The boss is standing up over here. Trap Shot, grade two stakes winner by the successful young sire Tappet. Standing his first season stud this year for $10,000 doing the full stands and nurses. And he's standing at Claiborne Farm. Now, Kieran McLaughlin, who trained Trap Shot, described him thusly. On a scale of 1 to 10, Trap Shot is almost a 10 in every category. Beautiful horse. Very talented, with a great mind, who did everything right. Trap Shot was an $850,000 sales graduate. Served notice early. Try that again. He served notice early that he was something special, breaking his maiden to Gulfstream by over 10 lengths. Next three starts, he won by nearly 13 lengths at Gulfstream, sprinted 7 furlongs and 122 flat to win by 4 at Belmont. And in his first try around 2 turns, he won the Long Branch Stakes by 2.5 lengths at Monmouth Park. Next out, he ran a game second in the Grade 1 Haskell, then later won back-to-back stakes at Belmont, headed by the Grade 2 True North, 6 furlongs and 108 and 4. He dropped a nose decision in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, concluded his career with a game fourth in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Trapshot's sire ranked third on the sire list last year. His dam is a Grade 1 producer by private account. Inquiries to Bernie Sams at Claiborne Farm. See the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They're experienced drivers and experienced horsemen. And that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Year in, year out, Broken Vow sires runners. He was the sire of 23 stakes horses in 2011. He sired as many as 10 stakes winners in a single crop. He has sired 4 Grade 1 stakes winners. Just last year, Sassy Image won Grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs and in Florida. And you don't have to wait long to get a return on your money. He was the sire of 19 two-year-old winners last year, and 6 of them won a place in stakes. Also, in 2011, his sales yearlings brought up to $440,000, and his sales two-year-olds up to $375,000. Broken Vow, multiple graded stakes winner by Unbridle, stands for $25,000 live foal at Pin Oak Stud, home also of Bob and John, Cowboy Cal, and Sky Classic. Bob and John is a Grade 1 stakes winner of over $996,000 by Seeking the Goal, stands for $7,500 live foal. He was the sire of 22-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop last year. Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner and millionaire by Giants Causeway, and here's first foals, superb individuals. They're yearlings. He stands for $7,500 live foal. And Champion Sky Classic by Nijinsky II has sired more than 100 stakes horses, 59 stakes winners, and his stud fee is $10,000 live foal. Inquiries with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens, and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere. And here's a guy that says if the weather's clear.
Are you all through talking to Jackie now?
Yes, sir. Whatever you say.
I don't want to interrupt over here.
We're having a little weather conversation.
A weather conversation?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear me earlier talking about going to that luncheon for Joe Palmer yesterday?
The National
Museum of Racing gave the Joe Hirsch Award to Joe Palmer, and Joe's son was there, Steve.
I met Steve.
Yeah, and his grandsons, David and Mark.
Nice. Where was the luncheon?
At the Thoroughbred Club.
Well, that's why we didn't get invited. What's the matter with you?
Well, what? Well, maybe they knew you.
That's what I'm saying. Right. Ever tell you about my great speech at the Thoroughbred Club?
No.
I will later.
Well, go ahead.
All right. Well, when I first came here to work for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation as the operations director, I was first introduced to the board of directors. We had our lunch at the Thoroughbred Club, and I was the speaker. Mm-hmm. And everybody on that board was unbelievably famous in all of the bluegrass. And I was trying to think of some way that I could explain what the problems that we had, that we had a lot of horses, that the whole system was clogged up, and it was like your arteries being clogged up. So I, unfortunately, made a reference to the fact that what was happening at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation with all these horses getting clogged up, we really needed to clean up their arteries, because the same thing that was happening to these horses happened to us meeting this hot brown.
No, you haven't been invited back either.
No.
Yeah.
They looked at me and I said, oh my goodness gracious, I might as well have just said I was an atheist. I might as well have just shot myself right then. They looked at me and said, he sounds funny, he acts funny, and he says stupid things. I don't think he's our man. That was the last time I was at the Thoroughbred. Oh, no, I was at the Thoroughbred Club one other time. I snuck in with Alfred Knuckles with sunglasses and a wig.
Yeah. Well, you need one. Unless you kept your hat on. Well, I hadn't been. This is just the second time I've ever been in that building. I used to be a member. I joined, it was in the old Phoenix Hotel on the second floor of the Phoenix. I'm pretty sure the mezzanine floor. I think it was either second
so
or
you
third.
Could bet in the basement and then go up to the Thoroughbred Club? Was that how it worked?
No, this is the Phoenix. That was the Drake.
All right.
The Drake was, you got to get up on the
I'm trying direction. Here.
The Drake Hotel is where the big bookie was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was up on Short Street. This one, it was, Phoenix was right downtown, a very famous building, you know, at that time. Right across from where the old Ben Ally Theater was, but anyway, I joined there, and then it moved out to the Springs Motel.
Uh huh.
And of course, it's gone now too, like the Phoenix.
It's a beautiful building. Now it's a Keeneland.
Oh yeah, now
it's
Keeneland.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, it's over on Rice Road.
Yeah,
it's not a part of Keeneland, but
no.
It might be on property that Keeneland owns.
Well, I know if you make bets over there in their machines, they send over employees to handle the betting windows.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you can bet. There were people betting there yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah. So I didn't. I came out ahead there. I had a free lunch, and
this is great.
Didn't have to tip.
You didn't have to tip. He's tough, isn't he?
Well,
he's tough.
You got a free lunch. I got a free jacket. We're on a roll.
We're on a roll this week. Yeah,
and I got a free loser.
Oh, you got a free loser. Mm-hmm. Well, who's your loser of the week?
Well,
tell him what kind of a bet this is now.
Okay, now we're picking a loser every week. Now the important thing is not that the horse is going to lose, but where he loses. So we like to play horses that are going off at huge odds that will have a really good chance of finishing third and fourth and really accelerating the payouts. Because sometimes you'll take a horse on top who's 3-5, but you get a 20-1 shot who finishes third or fourth, and all of a sudden the 10-cent superfecta comes back for $100. And you don't have to invest a lot of money, so it's a lot of fun.
One of those dime jobs.
Yes.
Yeah. How much do you invest on an average?
I never, in the 10-cent super per race, I don't invest more than $8.
Oh, about $8. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the biggest payoff you've ever had on that?
$2,100.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Well,
that'll cover a lot of bets, won't it?
Yeah, it covers a lot. That's the fun.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you're broke, you can't go. It's one of the rules. If you don't have the dough, you can't go.
Or if you're tight like me, you don't go. I figured out right away. I was a bad handicapper.
I went to the handicapping contest last night at Keeneland, and it was really a lot of fun. They put out a nice dinner, and you bet, and you have a contest, and they give away prizes. And I finished last, I think. If I didn't finish last, I finished pretty close to it.
Yeah.
But a horse.
Well, you're used to picking them that way now.
Yeah, really. Well, the problem was you had to pick winners. You could only bet win in place.
Oh.
You couldn't bet any exotics or anything. Mm. And the horse who won the first race was so unpredictable. I think the closest he'd ever gotten he was 11th by 21 lengths, and he won by 4 lengths last night and paid like $70.
Is this Turfway now that you bet on? They restricted to Turfway?
Yes.
Okay.
So that was it. So I knew that I wasn't going to win that contest. So, but anyway, we do have a loser today in a quality race at Aqueduct. It's the Withers.
Okay.
Now, the favorite's going to be a horse named Alpha. He's even money on the morning line. And he's a very, very impressive horse. He's a Bernardini out of a Nijinsky II mare, and he won the Count Fleet. He finished second in the Champagne to Union Rags. I mean, he's a nice horse and a deserving favorite. And he beat my little horse here, the one that I hope will finish third or fourth, by 10 lengths last time. But this race has a lot of speed in it, and the horse that I like is a horse named Spite City. He's a Spite's Town, bred over here at Windstar Farm. And he ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile again and lost to Hanson and Union Rag. So they've tried him against some nice horses. But I think he can improve. And last night I actually went and watched this race on the video, you know, where you can look at the past performances. He had a terrible time coming out of the gate, and he was wide all the way around. So if they run some fast fractions going a mile and a 16th in the Withers, he should be able to close and get third or fourth, and he's 20-1 on the morning line. And he's going to be the longest shot in the race. He'll probably go off at 30-1.
Okay.
So I'd take Alpha, you know, on top with a couple, and then put him third and fourth and see what happens.
Load up on the second horse, is that what you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put all in the middle.
All in the middle,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then just the fourth horse?
Is Spite's Town, and I play him third and fourth in the 10-cent super for a dime, yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right, there you are.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck.
So far, I'm 2-for-2 because they scratched the races and then they scratched the race. So, I haven't been wrong yet.
Batting 100. Yeah, very good. Yeah, batting 1,000.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, well, 1 in 10 is 100, I guess.
We had a lady named Mary Ostrowski who made some unbelievable donations to us. She has a really long collection of horse racing memorabilia, and she sent us saddle claws, and she sent us autograph pictures and posters and halters. Sent us a King Mambo, a John Henry. She sent us a John Henry halter with part of his hair on it to auction off. But my favorite thing was she bought the breeding bit that Unbridled had.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And Unbridled handed it down to Eddington. And then when Eddington didn't need it anymore or got another one, they auctioned it off and she bought it, and now she gave it to us. It's really a neat.
You just sell them or you keep
them? I don't know. It's always hard. Yeah. I can't keep too much else. We don't have too much. We don't have enough room. But we'll see. And we have our big party coming up the end of February up at the Seelbach Hotel in Louisville. It's the 4th annual Old Friends Along the Bourbon Trail, where all the bourbon people come, and they give you the room for half price so you don't have to stagger home. Yeah, exactly. And it's only $100, and you get a meal, and it's a lot of fun. We have an auction. You get all the bourbon.
And the room, too?
The rooms, they sell for half price.
Oh, okay. But that's not included in $100.
No.
Oh, damn.
Jeez, he wants to eat? Holy mackerel.
Well,
wow.
I'm just looking for a bargain.
Holy mackerel.
I was about ready to come up there and take a nap, you know. I mean, it's
You know, he still expects to go to the movies for a nickel.
You mean you don't? They all come on TV sooner or later.
That's true, they do. It's cheaper than a nickel.
To watch classic Turner Theater.
I love that. That's a great, 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 great program. But so we have a lot of people coming to the farm on tours and having a great, great old time. So come see us when you get a chance. All the horses are doing better than they've ever done. And Bull in the Heather, they just came out with a Bull in the Heather horse on Briar horses coming out in the next week or two. So keep an eye out for that. They did a full page on him in their catalog.
Is that right?
Yeah. Bull in the Heather, of course, an old friend's horse, and he's in there with all the famous horses that they make models out of.
Yeah. He was the January horse for your calendar, too, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Well, it's February now. You don't have to look up.
Yeah, that's Thornfield up there now.
Yeah.
He was Canadian Horse of the Year.
A canoe.
And a good tipper.
Okay. All right, Michael, let me take a little break here, and we'll get Doc on. and yes, see what Doc wants to do.
He's got his stethoscope. He's going to check your heart, make sure it's still ticking.
Well, I just went to my cardiologist, and he said, I'll see you next year. So I said, boy, you're optimistic.
Always good news.
I tell you a little story, though. I'm starting to lose my hearing a little bit, so I went to the Fred Sykes told me about, are you a veteran? I said, yeah, I'm a veteran. He said, well, if you go to vet hospital, you know, they'll, you know, take care of you. He said, you see these? And he said, I said, yeah. I said, well, these are $5,000 hearing aids. They give them to you. I said, well, hell, I'll go if I have to hock them. But anyway, I went, that's been 6 weeks ago. And I went out there, and they okayed me and everything, checked out, make sure I wasn't lying about my record, you know, if I wasn't dishonorably discharged or something, you know. But anyway, I haven't heard a peep out of them till just the other day.
Well, that's because you have bad hearing.
Well, yeah, what?
You got to wait till the hearing aids come in.
One to nothing.
Well, you know what I told him? I said, "What?" I said, you know, it says my age. I said, look at my age on that thing. He said, what are you trying to do, outweigh me?
Are you going to get it? Are they going to give it to you?
Oh, sooner or later.
Yeah, okay,
good. See, they have to set you up with a doctor to check you out, you know.
We got one right here.
Yeah. Do you qualify, Doc?
I can lie a bit.
You and me. All right, well, anyway, I guess I'll get one here sooner or later. But I had to do it because Jimmy Corrigan came over here, and he's giving, you know, I can't, Jimmy's got that Irish brogue anyway. He's hard to understand. I'm leaning out the window here, in the, you know, and he's giving me the names of these horses, and I can't understand them half the time. And he said, why don't you get a hearing aid? You know? I said, all right, by golly, I will.
He's probably glad you couldn't understand the name. So.
Whatever. So I've got to do it because it has slipped some. Oh, well, something's got to go sometime. Well, Miz and Mass concluded 2011 by signing his third Grade 1 stakes winner. That was Ultimate Eagle, winner of the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, winner earlier of the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby, and winner of four of his eight career starts with three placings for earnings of over $347,000. Miz and Mass earlier Grade 1 stakes winner are Mass Track, earner of over $228,000, and Midships, winner of nearly $556,000. Now, Miz and Mass has already sired two graded stakes horses this year. Miz Direction has won the Grade 3 Monrovia Stakes at Santa Anita, and the three-year-old colt Z Dagger just missed in the Grade 3 LeCompte at the fairgrounds. Miz Direction won stakes at Del Mar last fall and placed in three other stakes, including Grade 2 stakes at Keeneland and Del Mar. Z Dagger stamped himself as a colt to watch in the LeCompte, closing with a rush to drop a photo decision. He's being pointed to the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Miz and Mass sires runners. There's always another Miz and Mass. And that's why he sired 2011 sales offerings, which sold for $350,000, $240,000, $210,000, $172,000, $140,000, $135,000. Stud fee, $12,500 live full. Miz and Mass at Judmont Farm, home also of Grade 1 stakes winner and Gemetic Masterpiece First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com.
Tom Biederman's got some new listings this week. They had a very successful auction last week. It turned out to be quite nice. Had a big crowd, did very well. Anyway, this is a first one is 1695 Grassy Springs in Versailles, 281 acre horse farm. In the neighborhood of Pin Oak, Ashford, Diamond A, Gainsborough, etc. That's pretty nice. It's a place in excellent condition. Four good barns, 84 stalls, main residence, big house, 4,700 square feet, nice manager's house. It's got everything. It's got a horse exerciser, equipment, all this stuff goes. Asphalt roads. I'm so jealous. Asphalt roads throughout. Generally rolling land, this is $3,800,000.
Doesn't like our gravel road.
I hate our gravel road. Also, 60-plus acres, Oak Haven Farm. This is 2150 Leestown Road in Midway. This is a nice one, too. These don't come up very often. 60-plus acres, 18-stall broodmare barn, 13-stall yearling barn, an exerciser, stallion barn, etc. It's a good one. Residence has open floor plan, two bedrooms. This one catch this one. It's $930,000.
Does that include the tip?
That's my good friend Tom Biederman. That includes the tip, he says. That's our good friend Tom Biederman, Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. Tom's a great guy. Good to do business with him because he's somebody you can, you have confidence with him. You know, you can trust him. And his number is 277-2030, and it's BiedermanBrokerage.com. And let me spell that for you, BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. Well, Kipling is a full brother to Court Vision. Winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Turf last year, his dam is a full sister to Summer Squall, winner of the Grade 1 Preakness and a solid success at stud. And she is also a half-sister to the classic winner and champion sire, A.P. Indy. And Kipling is the sire of Kip DeVille, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile and three other Grade 1 stakes for earnings of more than $3,325,000. Through 2011, Kipling had sired 12% stakes horses from starters, a feat accomplished with limited opportunities before coming to Kentucky. In fact, his average earnings index, a figure which measures the quality of his runners as compared to runners out of the same mares but by other stands, nearly doubles. He most certainly moves up his mares. Send a nice mare to Kipling, and the odds are pretty good you'll have a runner in your racing stable. He's by champion sprinter Gulch, our 75 stakes winners, including a winner of the Kentucky Derby, and he stands for $5,000, doing a full stands of nurses at Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. Your inspection's invited. Just call 252-3770 or see the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty, moving right along, I've got Dr. Doug Byers here. What are we talking about today, Doug?
Well, I'm going to kind of hand this over. I'm going to be a bit of a quiz on hearts and stethoscopes with Michael Blowen here, because he's been walked through private lessons, and we'll see what he really retains. Now, I think anything from beyond a three-second lag time in an answer will have to kick in and help out a little bit.
Yeah, please.
The other thing that I'm thinking Michael's going to wind up passing the process of education on, because we gave Chris McCarron a stethoscope. So Michael's going to be his private tutor.
Yeah.
So, really?
Yeah.
Aren't you going to do that?
No, I'm
going to
let
him. He's got better things to do.
I'll do it for Chris's class, but I think Chris is going to have to go through the horrific episode of having Michael Blowen give him the fundamentals.
What do you got against Chris?
You guys are brutal. You know, it's true, though. But I remember when we first started doing this, we went over, and Dr. Byers took me, and I said, he came over and he said, okay, I'm going to give you your test now. And I said, okay, well, I have a couple things to do, and so give me 15 minutes. So 15 minutes later, I said, okay, which horse do you want to do it on? He goes, oh, no. Oh, no. They all know you. You know, you're not going to do anything. Get in the car. So off we go in his truck. We drive this back road, that back road, and this back road. And I'm going, what's going on? So we finally go in the back of this farm I'd never been on before. We walk into this barn, and there's a guy in there, and he says, okay. He says, go get that horse out of there, and we'll work on him. And I pull him out, and I look at his halter, and it says Stormcat. So that was a thrill.
I used to go out and check him annually because he had a heart murmur, and one that even Michael Blowen could hear. So
yeah, it has to be pretty loud. But what the funny part of the story is that, you know, Jug says, that's his leg. I was trying to listen for it, but I think I got to go to pretend to be a veteran and get my ears checked.
Could have been worse.
I got to watch out, Chris.
I couldn't hear anything. I'm going, wait a minute, what's that? You hear this thing, it goes. You go, what is that, a beat, or how many is that? And I got to multiply it by four, and, you know, 15 seconds. You know, anyway.
Hey, he's on the ball there. That's a little bit of. So what's a normal heart rate for a horse in a stall? Good, nice, fit racehorse.
I don't know.
Let's say, okay, we give him the three-second lag, and we'll move it right down.
About a 34, 36?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say that, actually, I used to say the two guns, so you can remember, a 32 and a 44. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the range.
See, he didn't tell me that the first time. I would have remembered that.
We had a filly once that would drop down to about a 28.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon.
Yeah.
And if they go way, way low, let's say less than 20, then that's abnormal.
Yeah.
You know, less than 22 probably abnormal. And we call that bradycardia or slow heart.
Yeah.
So brady means slow. Yeah. So
see, I'll remember the thing about the guns, and I'll say, oh, a 22 and a... Oh, no. Oh, no, I think it's a 34, 45.
So let's say...
Yeah.
He got it right. He went into to the horse, and he counted for 15 seconds and multiplied by 4, and he came up with 40. And so that was...
Yeah.
He got a nice, normal, quiet little horse here. Now, when they get out on the track, we know that they have an anxiety, so when they get in that starting gate, they've already got that pumper pumping like crazy. And they'll come out of a starting gate, and within the first few strides, they'll have a heart rate of anywhere from 200, very good, to 250. Ursel's way ahead of this game.
Oh, yeah, he is. He remembers certain things.
So he used to train with a heart rate monitor.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, and I talked to Greg Fox last week. He's down in Florida now. And yeah,
we didn't have one of those fancy ones that cost $5,000 like Greg did.
Well, anyway, it gives you an idea. But the main thing about that high heart rate is we all know that they're going to elevate it in response to what you're doing. But the most important thing is their recovery rate. When they come back to the barn, you want to wait about 20 minutes, and then that heart rate ought to be about 60. And they're headed slower and slower, and their membranes have already returned to pink. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that information is kind of pivotal to anybody that's trying to assess a horse's fitness. Now, if they don't recover, that doesn't mean that the heart's bad, because the heart is going to reflect the whole horse.
Mm-hmm.
Pain, anemia, other issues.
Conditioning.
Yep, exactly. So they may not be fit enough. But, I mean, that's tremendous value just by doing that.
Yeah, it really was a great tool.
Now, I tell you, you know, I've got the stethoscope around my neck here, which when I was in veterinary school, all those kids would go over to the sandwich shop on campus, and we put our stethoscopes around our neck.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we were pretty cool because all the co-eds would see us, you know, and they knew, well, they must be, you know, veterinary students. You know. Then the university built a med school, ruined the whole program.
Well, put on a white jacket.
Yeah. But anyway, when you go to get a physical today and you go to the doctor's office, you notice they don't have a stethoscope. Everything's mechanical.
Uh-huh.
Now, we're not there, and I think stethoscope is the practical, real tool that tells you the same information. But anyway, you go to the doctor's office, they put the blood pressure cuff on you, and it's got a monitor. You put the thing on your finger, and it gives you the heart rate and all that information. So it's all automated now. So.
I couldn't get the horse's hoof in that little clip that you put on your finger. So you start to use the stethoscope.
Well, where do you listen to the heart, Michael?
Well, it's just below the shoulder.
Well, if you're on the left side, there's actually three valves that you can hear. The one you hear the most commonly is called the mitral valve. But you've also got a pulmonic and an aortic valve over there. And you want to listen to that. So if you're listening to Stormcat, you'll hear an aortic murmur, which is the filling phase, which is not life-threatening at all. So it's just a loud, you know, systole is when the heart contracts and you get a vroom, boom, vroom, boom. When you get a diastolic, the filling phase is a boom, vroom, boom, vroom. So you realize it. Now, listening on the left side, you just go about 3 inches above the elbow up onto the chest, and you'll be able to start picking up. Most likely, you'll hear the mitral valve. If you listen on the right side, the heart in a horse is kind of twisted. So you take the stethoscope, put it in the same position, but then push forward just a little bit, maybe about an inch or two against the shoulder muscle, and get behind it, stethoscope, and you'll hear that on the right side, and that's the tricuspid valve. And they just had a paper out in the research journal that they looked at standard bred horses, and right-sided tricuspid valve murmurs were very common but had no impairment of performance. So that's a murmur that you would just find. I can remember doing an insurance exam on Slew of Gold when he went to stud. Mm-hmm. And he had a pretty significant right-sided murmur. But I said, you know, this horse won over $3 million. This doesn't make any sense, you know. And he always had that. Found out that he's always had that. But some horses have it. Some children have murmurs and do fine.
I've had one all my life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, we pay more attention to heart murmurs in people because of our athletes. Mm-hmm. You know, we want those kids checked out today pretty cautiously because of cardiac arrest in a young athlete.
We have a horse with a murmur. We have a couple of them with murmurs, as Dr. Byers knows, but one of them is Williamstown, and it is the Withers, and he broke Dr. Fager's track record. And the Withers that Dr. Fager had held for 28 or 29 years, and he has a heart murmur.
He has a diastolic murmur, and that's the aortic valve, and again, that's not life-threatening. Mm-hmm. It's not life-threatening. So you listen to both sides, and so when you go to the sale over here, you see your veterinarian listening to the left side, which is the near side, so more common. Say, well, what about the other side? You know, you don't want to offend him or her, but you make sure they listen to both sides because they could have something significant. So, anyway, you got that. And then if you went to do a heart exam and you listen, and horses are very, very unique. They have a different electrical system to their heart. They have a different contraction to the heart muscles. So an EKG is not as relevant in a horse. In a person, you put the EKG on and the doctor measures what they call axis or rotation on the EKG and then tells you those things in a normal rhythm heart because changes can be detected very subtly. You can do the same thing in a dog. But people and dogs have what we call type A fiber system. A horse has a type B, which contracts the whole heart simultaneously. So EKGs are very, very difficult to look at. Now, if you put your stethoscope on a horse and you got a boom, 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 mm-hmm. boom, boom, then you know he's got an arrhythmia.
Yeah.
And, of course, the most common one we've talked about before in racehorses, and it happens in people, is called atrial fibrillation. You won't see all those ads on TV all the time. And again, that's not life-threatening.
Yeah.
But a horse in atrial fibrillation will sound just like I just kind of made those sounds there. He'll bleed. He'll bleed out his nose.
Is that right?
Because the pressure change is enough that they get excessive hemorrhage from the lungs. So they are an EIPH horse that needs to be converted back to a normal rhythm, give them some rest, and they'll go right back to performance. For 90% of them will not go back into atrial fib.
Huh. Yep. I didn't know that. Yeah.
And now we even have the electrical conversion, but otherwise the drug is quinidine. They go to a hospital, quinidine can get toxic, so they need to be where they can be watched. And there was a horse that was in the Derby about 3 years ago that they had me come up to Churchill, and he had atrial fib. And the complaint was he bled out of his nose the last 2 days, just galloping. You know, just light. First thing is, you could hear that atrial fib. So we sent him, got him converted. He got about 30 good days of rest, and then they started conditioning him again. He didn't go back into atrial fib, and he ran the Derby. Mm. Respectful, nice respectful horse.
Well, good.
So, anyway.
All right.
Okay, well, Chris McCarron, watch out.
Yeah, really. I'll try and remember the 44.
Oops. I better catch up here, guys.
All right.
I want to thank Les Instone, too, of TwinSpires.com. I ran into Les last night at the handicapping contest, and he donated a wonderful autographed photograph of frame photograph of Animal Kingdom's Derby win that Graham Motion had signed for him, and he gave it to Old Friends for our auction.
Oh, yeah.
Wanted to thank him. He's a great guy.
Bless a good guy.
Yeah, he really is. He likes you, too. Oh, my God.
Well, he's always had bad taste, but he's a good guy.
All right, Russell. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Well, it didn't take DeHare long to demonstrate the fact that he's going to sire runners. Retired late in the breeding season, he was the sire of only six foals in his first test crop. Three have started, three of the six have started, and two of them have won. The third's place. His runners are Gypsy Robin, winner of her first start at Keeneland by a length and a half in record time, and also of the $101,000 sorority stakes at Monmouth Park. Multiple allowance winner in stakes. Well, I believe she's won stakes now. Castella and Caillou, second at the fairgrounds on January the 19th in his first start around two turns. So look for more runners by DeHare in 2012, because there more on the way. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and won 33-3, posted a 114 buyer, won the Grade 2 Jerome and won 34-1 for a 110 buyer. And he's one of 11 Grade 1 stakes winners by Awesome Again. He's also a full brother to Grade 1 stakes winner Sponge Sugar from a family loaded with superior stakes winners. DeHare at Shadwell Farm, 7,500 live foal. Inquiries to stallion manager Kent Barnes. See the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quillen has a...
Whoops,
special...
your mic's not on, dear.
Oh.
Hang on a second here. You Newton there?
I don't know what it's...
Well,
I don't know.
Here, use this one.
I think okay. I turn it on.
Oh, okay. Well, then there's two of me. Oh, two mics.
Stereo.
Stereo me. God, is that scary. Quillen has a special, $17.95 on Quillen Calico, how's that? Foals and newborn halters while supplies last. Now, what calico means is they've taken different colors of leftover perfectly good leather, and they can use it on small things like foal and newborn halters because the pieces are just, the size is fine. And it's a great, great bargain now, $17.95. Besides, all foal and newborn halters look the same after they've been turned out a couple of days. Anyway, so they're $17.95 now. Call Quillen's at 987-0215. They're in Paris. Or go on the website, Quillen, Quillin.com.
Well, Home Sweet Aspen, winner last Saturday of the Grade 1 Santa Monica Stakes at Santa Anita, is the seventh Grade 1 Stakes winner by the remarkable young sire, Candy Ride. One of the seven is millionaire Sydney's Candy, standing his first season of stud this year at Windstar Farm. Sydney's Candy won the Grade 1 Santa Anita Derby, defeating, among others, Looking at Lucky, and a total of six stakes, all graded. This was a stunning performance. This after a stunning performance as a two-year-old when he set a new track record at Del Mar for 5.5 furlongs. Later, he set a new track record for a mile and a 16th at Del Mar, 139-2. In Grade 2 stakes, sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-4 to win Grade 2 stakes, again this time at Santa Anita, ran a mile and won 33-3 in graded stakes, posted triple-digit buyers on dirt, turf, and artificial, and he came east to win graded stakes at Saratoga. Candy Ride stud fees climbed to $50,000. Sydney Candy entered stud for $15,000, due when the foal stands and nurses, with a 5% discount if paid by November 1. Your inspection's invited. Just contact Jerry Duffy or Jenny Barnett at 873-1717. Check the website at windstarfarm.com. All righty, Jackie, you want to do a few... yeah, I got to do this one. No, I don't.
No, you don't?
No, that's next.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
You led me astray there.
Oops, okay, let's see.
I'll tell you what I can do first, though. Take care of my David Schweitzer over at Kentucky Thoroughbred Association by giving the breeders of Kentucky Bred Breeders of... wait a minute. Let me get this straight now. The winners of Breeders of Kentucky Breeds that won stakes last weekend. I'll get it straight in a minute. And let's see. Let's go first with the Grade 1 Santa Monica. And we just did that one. That Home Sweet Aspen won that, bred by Sydney and Jenny Craig. The Forward Gal Stakes, Grade 2, that's at Gulfstream. Broadway's Alibi won that, bred by Robshan Stables. And the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes, I wish Catherine was here. She could tell me how to pronounce this horse right. Algorithms.
Oh, no, algorithm.
Algorithm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very common word among those who can read.
Among those who are educated. Well, that's me out. It's not in the Hard Boot Dictionary. Anyway, was bred by Oak Brook Farm, and Catherine raised that thing, by the way, algorithms. And let's see, what else? The John B. Connolly Turf Cup Handicap at Sam Houston. That's grade 3 race. And the winner was Papa Bodie. That's more my style of name. bred by the Omega Farm, B.D. Gibbs, and Chauncey Mill Farm. Let's see the... Now, that one wasn't bred there. It's Florida bred. Let me see. I'm still looking here. The Dancing Count Stakes at Laurel went to Beggar Thy Neighbor, and it was bred in Kentucky by the Alistar Thoroughbreds. The Evening Attire Stakes at Aqueduct, Redding Colliery, was bred by Gainsway Thoroughbreds right next door here, and the 707 Stables. The Affectionately Stakes at Aqueduct, Love and Pride won that one, bred by Stud TNT. I wonder where they keep their horses. That's a Brazilian outfit.
Really?
Yeah. Stud TNT. One of the leading breeders, I believe, in Brazil. The King Cotton Stakes at Oaklawn went to Riley Tucker. That's a Harlan's Holiday. And this one was bred in Kentucky by Formal Gold LLC. And I believe that's it.
Okay. And, you know, talking about your hearing...
Huh?
We were not talking about Jerry. I don't know anybody that's been in radio all their life that wears those earphones that doesn't start losing their hearing sooner or later. It's amazing. Especially if you say so, dear. Turn those earphones up and blast you out of there.
Well, I don't turn them up. It's not that loud.
I can't wear them. Okay. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers. Membership meeting is Wednesday. That's this coming Wednesday, February 8th at Keeneland. Guest speaker is Alice Stack, MVBDACVIM. So there. She is originally from Ireland, got her veterinary degree from University College in Dublin. From there, she went to Dubai, completed an internship. Talk about going from the rain to the sunny heat. Dubai Equine Hospital, working with Thoroughbreds and Arabians. I bet that's about all they got over there. I bet they ain't got no quarter horses.
Where is it?
Standard bred in Dubai.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
No quarter horses?
No. It ought to be interesting. Registration was yesterday, but I think if you call, you may be able to get a hold of somebody, and maybe they'll take an RSVP. Otherwise, you can show up and see what happens. Dinner starts at 6:45. Go to ktfmc.org for more info. High Hope Volunteers is having their first volunteer meeting Wednesday, February 22nd, 6 o'clock at the Horse Park. It'll either be at the Pony Club building or Central Kentucky Riding for Hope, which is on the other side. But anyway, they will, when they decide, they'll pass out the word, and I can announce it too. Now, Sunday, February 12th, a week from tomorrow, Bill Wofford's planning a work party on the course from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. They're going to work on fence and ground repair. Please bring a shovel. What? And if the weather's really crummy, I'm going to give you Bill Wofford's number, 338-7859. So they're looking for sponsors and vendors and advertisers and volunteers. This is Jessica Oldham Stiff. She's the executive director now at the High Hope. She's out there in the horse park herself. Her office number is 967 9444.
Reggie wants us to try another phone line something, so we're going to take a little break.
Oh, okay, very good.
And we'll get right back to
it's
you.
It's raining. There goes the Lexington phone line.
If you haven't checked in Dispensary Farms Breed Secure program, you should. It's a win-win program for breeders, and it applies to Into Mischief, whose first foals were raced this year. Into Mischief is a grade one stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday, who sired another stakes winner just last Saturday when Riley Tucker won the King Cotton at Oaklawn. Winner earlier of graded stakes at Churchill Downs and placed in grade one stakes, Riley Tucker has earned over $625,000. Harlan's Holiday has sired eight grade one runners, and prominent among them is Into Mischief, winner of the grade one cash call for Tourdie at two, at the direct expense of grade one winner Colonel John. This after he'd sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden at Santa Anita. In three starts at three, Into Mischief ran second to a world record holder in the grade one Malibu, second in the grade to a grade one winner in the grade two San Vicente, and first in the Damascus Stakes, 7 furlongs and won 20-1, beating a field which included 5 graded stakes winners, 3 grade one. Into Mischief stands for $7,500 due when a foal stands in nurses. And to learn more about the Breed Secure program, call Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee at 294-0030. See the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Now in stock at...
Well, if you're thinking about breeding on the lucrative Indiana bred program, just take a good look at Charging Indian, a son of Indian Charlie, standing for $1,000 due when the foal stands in nurses at Richwine Farm. That's a farm very near Hoosier Park. In a career compromised by injuries, Charging Indian won his first 4 starts, a maiden special at the fairgrounds, and 3 straight allowance races. They came at Keeneland, Oaklawn, and again at Keeneland. He could run, and he comes from a running family. Indian Charlie has sired the winners of 4 individual Eclipse Awards, and he stands for a fee of $75,000. Charging Indian sires Marquetry, sire of 2 Eclipse Award winners. His second dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Northern Dancer, and his third dam is a stakes-winning daughter of Sir Ivor. Now, for more information, go to the website, richwinestallions.com. Let me spell that for you, richwinestallions.com. And once again, the farm is conveniently located near Hoosier Park off I-79, exit 41. Go take a look at Charging Indian. We think you're going to like what you see. And that stud fee again, $1,000, due when the foal stands and nurses. Come in.
Run, old Molly, run. Run, old Molly, run. Tyndall's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun. To the bright shining sun. Oh, Lord, to the bright shining sun. Tyndall's was a big bear.
Righty. Well, let's see where we are right now. You think we fixed that line over there?
Yes, sir.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Good.
How about that?
That's what pays to have a good engineer. Yeah. Let me take this break right at the top of the hour break,
right.
And then we're going to get Catherine Park
good.
On.
Good. Wonderful.
And she's going to teach me once again how to pronounce that horse's name. Jackie knows how to say it.
Algorithm. It's some kind of a mathematical thing where you can come up with the lowest common denominator.
Is that
See,
right?
She shook her head.
Is that right, Catherine?
That's right. Algorithms.
Damn, I hate it. Two women here and they're smarter than me.
Well, the real smart one's sitting over in a chair who looked it up for me.
Oh.
I know it had something to do with math, which I probably failed.
I bet you Rassie didn't know. Well, let me take this break here. Well, Classic Winner Empire Maker sired 7 grade one stakes winners, 2 last year. Grace Hall, winner of the grade one Spinaway, and Eclipse Award winner Royal Delta, winner of the grade one Ballerina, grade one Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic and the grade one Alabama. And she sold at Keeneland for $8,500,000. Now, one of Empire Maker's 7 grade one stakes winners is Pioneer of the Nile, winner of over $1,634,000. Pioneer of the Nile won grade one stakes at 2 and grade one stakes at 3. He was second in the grade one Kentucky Derby. His dam, a daughter of Lordy War, won won stakes at Churchill Downs. His first foals are yearlings, and he stands for $15,000 due when the foal stands and nurses, and your inspection is invited at Vinery, Kentucky. Now, the staffs at Vinery, Kentucky, Vinery, New York, and Vinery, Florida stand ready to assist you in every facet of the thoroughbred industry. Just get in touch with John Gasper, Grant Williams, Francis Relihan, or Steve Castanola. Number over there is 455-9388. And the website is vinery.com.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
From the Toyota of Nicholasville studios, this is WLXG Lexington, ESPN, Sports Radio 1300.
Toyota Nicholasville, where price sells cars.
Well, there are a host of stallions standing for a stud fee of $7,500 this year. Few, if any, can match Proud Citizen's record at stud. He sired three stakes winners in the first month of 2012. Believe You Can is a graded stakes winner, too, last year. That was at Belmont. She won the $125,000 Silver Bullet Day Stakes at the fairgrounds on January 21. And that same day, Vamo a Galpierre, making just her second start in the USA, came from 17 lengths back to win the Megahertz Stakes at Santa Anita. Got the mile and won 34-4. She won by over three lengths. Vamo a Galpierre was a grade one stakes winner and champion filly in Chile. As a reminder, Proud Citizen has sired three champions. His brilliant Proud Spell earned over $2,131,000. She earned an Eclipse Award after taking such classics as the Kentucky Oaks and the Alabama. And he sires a solid 13% stakes horses, including nine 2011 stakes winners. Now that's a lot of sire power for $7,500. Proud Citizen won graded stakes, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, third in the Preakness, and he's by Gone West. Stands at Mr. and Mrs. Bird and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. Breeding incentives may be available, and see the website at airdriestud.com.
I got the horse right here. The name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy.
Be right with you. Signing on. Well, we're starting the second hour now, and Catherine Park has joined me here. She owns Valkyrie Stud. I'm pronouncing that right, aren't I?
Yes, sir.
All right, how about that? And she raised a pretty good horse that won the Holy Bull Stakes the other day. Say the name for me.
Algorithms.
All right. And my smart mouth wife explained to me what that was all about, but she's not here right now. We won't go into that again. That'd be a big thrill for you, raising a nice horse like that, Catherine.
Oh, the whole journey with the mother, Ava Nozakote, has been, you know, everything's gone from stake horses in the second dam to group horses in the first dam. It's just been a real journey. It sure makes it a little easier to get out of bed in the morning. Yeah.
Now, who is the lady that owns that? She raced under Oakbrook?
Oakbrook is Patricia Klusman.
Tell me something about her.
Well, they're wonderful people. We lost Bill a few years ago, but Bill and Pat had a farm in California for a while, and then when they closed the farm down, they were my first major client. In 1980, they moved their mares to Kentucky and kept them here, and when Bill was alive, they raced everything. Always their fillies. Bill would sell a colt now and then,
yeah,
but they'd always race
mm-hmm.
their fillies, and they raced Ava Nozakote.
Mm-hmm. What did he do? What was his line of business?
He was in construction and real estate. He started out as an accountant, and he was a rider. He was a cowboy. He was a hunter.
My kind of man.
He'd go to Wyoming and backpack, and even when he was in his 60s, and you know, sleep in a sleeping bag with his horse, and he's a wonderful man, wonderful man.
Well, that's you've known him a long time then.
A long time, yeah. Like my second dad. And Pat, thankfully, you know, it usually doesn't work that way, but she loves the industry and just as much as he did, so she's carried right on.
And she still live in California?
She lives in California, and doesn't have a farm anymore, but lives in California and keeps some mares and keeps going.
Yeah, well, good. How many mares does she keep with you?
She's got three mares, and then we've got three we own together. So she's got three all mares, and then three we own in partners.
Does she sell? Do you all sell in market?
Well, Ava keeps having colts, so if she'd have a filly, I think Pat would be, you know, extremely tempted to keep it. But Ava's had, I think, four colts in a row now, so she would keep it. I think she'd have to. Ava's 17, overdue right now to tap it. We don't know if she's carrying a filly or not. But
that'd be a hard one to keep.
The next,
it's going to be worth a lot of money.
Yeah, the next, this foaler, whenever she has a filly, I think she'll want to keep it.
Yeah.
And run it.
Now, I understand that you bought the second dam?
Ava Romance, yep.
Yeah.
Yep, she was the first mare I bought for Bill and Pat, and she was just this really correct in her conformation and a hard-running, sound filly mare. 15-3, hickory bones and great disposition, and she's just she threw that soundness, I think, into Ava Knows the Code,
yeah,
which she throws into her babies.
She raced through I looked up a pedigree, I'm cheating a little bit. She raced through a 5-year-old season, didn't
she? Yep, yep, and ran a long time, made a lot of starts, and
57.
A lot of money in those days.
Was it 248,000?
Yeah, that was a lot of money many years ago.
Well, that's a lot of money right now, as far as that goes. You know, she sure paid her way, and then she's had some other stakes winners, hasn't she?
She has. She's had some daughters that have had stakes winners, and they've not had quite the opportunity that Ava's had. They haven't been bred quite to the type of stallions Ava's been bred to.
Mm-hmm.
But they've all had, I think, three of her daughters have had stake horses. But Ava Knows the Code just seems to have popped up to that next level. They're all group horses.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You didn't go down to the race, I don't guess.
No, I would if the Wolves were so nice. They invited me, and I really wanted to go. But it's hard to wear two hats, and I just don't, during foaling, I just don't
to
be away.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I have great staff, but I just don't like to be away during foaling. It's such a critical time.
Where is your farm now?
I'm in Georgetown.
I knew Scott County, but where?
About 4 miles down from the high school where it's real hilly.
Is that right? Well, Calumet's hilly.
Yeah.
So go.
Yeah, Valkyrie's hilly like Calumet. It's pretty hilly. It's been a great partner, that little farm.
Uh-huh. How many acres you have there?
200 total.
Well, that's not little.
Well,
now I'm on a little place. I've got 22 acres.
Well, that's enough to keep you real busy, but by Kentucky standards, I'm pretty small.
Yeah, well, but you got a boarding. How long have you had it out there?
1978 is when I started.
You must have been about 12 years old.
Oh, boy. You're on the top of my list.
All right. Well, let's keep it there. Let me take a break and I'll get right back to you. Okay. Got to keep up with the commercials. Well, Trap Shot, a grade two stakes winner by the successful young sire Tappet. There you go.
Yeah.
Is to stand his first season at stud this year for $10,000, doing a full stanza nurses at Claiborne Farm. Now, Kieran McLaughlin, who trained Trap Shot, described him thusly. On a scale of 1 to 10, Trap Shot is almost a 10 in every category. Beautiful horse, very talented, with a great mind, did everything right. Now, Trap Shot was an $850,000 sales graduate, and he served notice early that he was something special. Broke his maiden at Gulfstream by over 10 lengths. Next three starts, he won by 13 lengths at Gulfstream, 7 furlongs and 122 to win by 4 at Belmont. And in his first trial round, 2 turns, he won the Long Branch Stakes by 2.5 lengths at Monmouth Park. Next out, he ran a game second in the Grade 1 Haskell, and later he won back-to-back stakes at Belmont, headed by the Grade 2 True North, 6 furlongs and 8-4. Dropped a nose decision in the Grade 1 Alfred G. Vanderbilt at Saratoga, and concluded his career with a game fourth in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. Trap Shot's sire ranked 3rd on the sire list last year. His dam's a Grade 1 producer by private account. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, and see the website at claibonfarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
To statistics published by the Thoroughbred Times, Fushi Ichi Pegasus saw 9 stakes winners, 2 of them grade 1 stakes winners, and their earners of more than $7,815,000 last year, ranked 11th on the general sire list. He was the only sire among the top 15 to stand for a fee of less than $30,000. Fushi Ichi Pegasus stands for $15,000 doing a foal stands and nurses. Through 2011, he sired 62 stakes winners and over 150 stakes horses. 3 of his 6 grade 1 stakes winners won stakes in the USA, including Roman Ruler, sire of last year's winner of the Belmont Stakes. The only son of Mr. Prospector to win the Kentucky Derby, Fushi Ichi Pegasus, is one of 4 stallions at Coolmore's Ashford Stud, ranked among the top 20 on the general sire list. Don's Causeway, ranked 1st, stands for $85,000 live foal. Taylor the Cat, 8th, $30,000 live foal. Grand Slam, 17th, $12,000 live foal. In addition, Scat Daddy was the nation's leading freshman sire for money won, the leading freshman sire for a number of stakes winners with 5, and he was the nation's leading sire of 2-year-old winners with 29. So if you want performance, look to Ashford Stud, leading sires, potential leading sires only at Coolmore. Righty. Well, I'm talking to Catherine Parr, who raised that horse that won the Holy Bull. I don't even know how to try to pronounce it. I don't know how you say it. And I'm glad I don't call races.
Algorithms.
Algorithms. All right. Oh, it's hard for an old hard boot like me.
Well, I can't spell it, but I can say it.
Okay. Well, I can't do either. Well, okay. Where are you from originally, Catherine?
I'm from Ohio. I came down and finished up school at UK and stayed here. So this is my home.
Was your family in the horse business or something?
Well, my father rode in the Boy Scouts and the Cavalry, but my grandfather and my great uncle were very, very good polo players. They were both gone before I was born, but I don't know, just something that they both had a very high handicap and were good polo players, and I just... Somehow I got those genes.
Were you around horses when you were a kid? Or?
Well, I was. My father tried every way in the world. I have an older brother to get him to ride, and he'd cry, you know. We put him on a pony and kind of gave up. And one morning they got out of bed Saturday morning. I wasn't in my room, and I was 4 years old, and I was on the back of a pony with my babysitter, double bareback, yeah, riding in the neighborhood. So they picked me up and hauled me off to riding school, and I thought I better learn how to ride properly. So that was the end of that, or the beginning of that.
Okay. Well, did you start riding just pleasure horses or hunter jumper?
Jumper, and competed, and I still compete. I still have a wonderful jumper, and when I came down to UK, I'd gallop horses in the morning, you know, to make money, and then go to school, you know, at Keeneland. You could gallop and make some good money, and then I could make my classes, and yeah, night watched a little bit on the weekends, and, you know, and could yeah, study all night, so...
Well, you tiny as you are, you could probably still gallop horse.
I'm not fit enough, but I've got a nice jumper. I could still ride him, but I don't think I could gallop a racehorse anymore. They'd be bracing.
Yeah, well, we've got a jockey school out here now, you know. Yeah, Chris McKern will teach you. Yeah. He'll get you shape, you know. They've got those mechanical horses that they, you know. I think he's got about I think it's four of them over here, you know, that he puts those kids on.
Ursula, you'd have to have a bottle of Aleve for me if I got one of those.
Oh, well, whatever. Oh. Whatever it takes. Did you ever fox hunt?
I did, yep. I fox hunted and
Who'd you ride with?
Enjoyed that. I started out in Carlisle with Ruth Hughes.
Oh, and, my goodness, I've known Ruth forever. Scooter trained, do you know Byron?
Yes,
you know
yes, he's doing great as a trainer.
Scooter
great,
does so. A very good job. He trains here. He's
good,
he's
good horse
here.
People. But yeah. Yeah, that's when I hunted the most at Licking River, and Ruth would hunt a, she actually fox hunted a steeplechaser named Belay. Mm-hmm. You remember him at Johnny Griggs's horse?
No, I don't quite remember, but I know I've known Johnny Griggs. I never got in. Now, Jackie used to fox hunt.
Yeah.
But I never was that crazy.
Well, she'd trot over. That horse was so talented. She'd trot over all the fences. But it was with Ruth Hughes, it was the real deal. I mean, she'd throw her coat over the barbed wire fences like you read about. And,
yeah.
You know, you jump that. I mean, there wasn't any, you know, I mean, she... It was amazing, but I was younger then, so I didn't have any fear.
Yeah. You know, Gail.
Yeah.
He used to, of course, he used to manage Greenfield over there, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
No, Asbury.
Right.
And no, it was Forest Retreat for years and years and years and years. But he worked for the Whitney. The Whitney's family used to own this property, you know.
Oh, okay.
And barn 28 over there was the old stud barn. And he was telling me, I said, now that barn dates back to 1910 or something. No, he says, that didn't burn down. He told me, he said, they built it back, you know, about 1940 or something like that. Scooter's dad, Gail, was telling me that.
Wow.
But he could tell me the old studs that were over there and you know. Of course, he raised a determined and down at Forest Retreat, raised a Derby winner. And everything that you're right, that's been a horse family. But so you came down here and decided to come down here just to, because it was Kentucky, to go to UK, is that it?
Well, I was in pre-med and encouraged to not go to veterinary school because my advisor said that at that time women would be working in a meat packing plant and I'd never get a job with equine, and it was pretty much true. I mean, there was one, when I got out to school, there was one lady practitioner here, a very good one named Mary Passenger, that unfortunately was killed by a horse.
I remember that.
Lovely lady, but there weren't any women. And so anyway, I went to animal sciences and loved that and took all the equine courses I could and hung out in the diagnostic lab, which was right in the middle of campus in those days, hung out there and just got involved in the industry, you know, like I said, night watched on the weekends because you could study.
Watch?
My first job was Johnston Farm, which we're looking right over the barns over there.
Yeah,
the first, I don't know even who owns that now. But
well, it's owned by the Gentry brothers and a real good friend of mine.
Is it?
Matt Howard manages it. In fact, he comes over and helps me clock. You know, I do the clocking
really?
Here also.
Yeah.
And he'll come over after the break, the renovation break, and help me. He was here this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I knew Wick and Stoney.
Wick and Stoney.
Yeah.
And I met them because I used to exercise Wick's field hunter for him, leg up his field hunter vigilance, and get him fit for him. And then, of course, he wrote for the Thoroughbred Record.
Blood Horse, too. Yeah, I think he was at the Blood Horse first. Wick was
just a lovely people.
Oh, they
so
really were. You know,
they're
buried over there. They're buried on the farm.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I knew that.
They're lovely people.
Yeah, of course Stoney used to fox hunt.
Yep.
And oh gosh, they go back a long way in the horse business, you know. So you were working for Wick and Stoney.
Yep.
You know, you're going back pretty far now. I swear you don't look like you're 35.
I told you, you're my biggest, you're on the top of my list.
Well, isn't that right, Rusty? Yeah. Isn't that right? Well, the horse business will either age you in a hurry or keep you young, won't it?
Yeah, it's just such a, you know, the people and the horses are what, I mean, it's just the whole environment is just, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And at Ursula, it's just...
We're
very lucky people to be.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm here.
Yep.
Jack and I used to train together, and I stopped training and sat on my horse and last horse, I think it was 2002. And they'd never had a clocker out here before, so Keeneland asked me if I would do it. And actually, Jim Pendergrass over here is the general manager, and I thought, well, why not?
You know? Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. I mean,
this is great.
I like the people out here. It's really, it's almost like a family atmosphere out here.
Yeah.
It's not like racetracks.
Right.
It's different, you know, because everybody out here kind of roots for each other, and, you know, it's really been a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
You've got any horses in training?
Not
if you didn't help it, huh?
Well, yes, I do. I've got a little part of two horses out of a mare named Tefonica. That's had a grade one horse I raised named Hamish High.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up in the sale and we bought her. And then we've kept we've got a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old out of her. Her 3-year-old just won a really nice, maiden special at, Santa Anita.
Oh, wow.
And her 2-year-old, of course he's just a baby, but we're having fun with the family.
Yeah, who trains for you out there?
Art Sherman.
Okay.
Art trained Hamish High.
Yeah.
So we got together and, he said he wasn't a broodmare guy, but he we couldn't let Tefonica go through the sales and not buy her, so we bought her, and we're really having fun.
Yeah, well, that's great. If you ever need somebody out here to train, there's several good trainers out here. A lot of trainers out here will just get them ready here,
uh-huh,
and then send them on.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, but I'm a new bird. You said you've got 5 mares of your own. Is that it, or?
I've got four mares of my own and three in partner. Excuse me, 4 mares of my own and think a minute, and 3 in partnership.
You sell it keenly?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You take boarders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, well, obviously you do, but you know, some people don't take as many boarders as they got their own. Sounds like it's the other way with you.
Yeah. Well, I keep about 35 mares. You know. And,
good Lord.
That's
busy time.
Yeah, well, it's not as many as used to be. You know, I don't want to harp on our program, but we've really desperately need some help.
Well, maybe that's going to change.
Desperately. Even the instant racing, anything that'll get our purses up, because it just, you know, we're getting people moving mares to, used to be Pennsylvania and West Virginia, and now, you know, New York, and it just... You know, this is the best place in the world to raise a horse, in my opinion.
Yeah, but you're right. There's a lot of mares leaving here now, and some studs, you know.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully now we've got a new governor in, and that looks like he's on our side.
I mean, even the instant racing they've had such a tremendous success of that in, the first quarter at Kentucky Downs. I mean, it's just been phenomenal, people coming up from Nashville. It's going to really help the purse structure at Ellis Park. If we could even just get that in the tracks, you know, to get our purses up.
Yeah. Well, it'll happen. It's just going to take a little while. But that looks awful
good. It better happen pretty quick because they're building a casino in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
That's goodbye Turfway, and I don't know what River would do.
Yeah. Well, if Turfway would do the instant racing, I think that, if I read correctly, Kentucky Downs, the first quarter, was $17 million in just from those machines.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
$250 a day per machine, and just, you know, the instant racing. You know?
I'd like to get one of those in my house.
Me too.
I'd probably use it. I'd lose money.
You'd put all the money back.
I absolutely would. Well, I guess you're going to be rooting for this horse to go to the Derby now. So.
Oh, it's just the thought of a classic is just, it's just almost, you know, just almost knocks you over to think that you'd have a horse in the, of course, her first foal, you know, went in the Kentucky Derby, but Keyed Entry was a sprinter.
Yeah. What was his name?
Keyed Entry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was a sprinter. He was a top class sprinter, and Mr. Wolf's the first one to say he was one of their first really good horses, and they just got Derby fever and tried to stretch him out, and he was a very, very fast, talented horse, but he wasn't a mile and a quarter horse.
what's this algorithms, right? What's he going to go in? next? Do you know where they're pointing him?
I don't know. Mr. Pletcher hasn't said. There'll probably be three choices, I guess. The Fountain of Youth, the Florida Derby, or the Tampa Bay Derby.
Tampa Bay Derby.
All three of those are, you know, in Florida, nearby, and about the right time. So I haven't heard yet. Nice. He came out of the race great.
Nice to have.
They have a choice like that.
Yeah.
It absolutely is, yeah.
Other than one, let's see, maiden five. That's nice.
And who are you bringing the dam of this thing to this year now?
She's going to go back to Bernardini.
Back to Bernardini.
Yeah,
well,
yep.
Why not?
Yep.
Yeah. That's, and what's a foal? She got a foal this year?
She's overdue to tap it.
Yeah, well, you told me that.
That's okay. We're about 10 days overdue, so she's okay. She's comfortable. I guess she'll probably have a colt if she's going over, so we'll have another boy, I guess.
All righty. Well, Catherine, I'm going to let you go.
Well,
appreciate you driving all the way over here to sit down and chat with us.
It's wonderful to meet you all. This was great.
Yeah, come back anytime.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay.
Just I get donuts.
Bring your own. Bring your own beer in a folding chair.
All right.
And you're welcome.
What time do y'all get here in the mornings? Early?
I get here at 6.
Okay.
Jackie doesn't. She comes in later. I mean, the track opens at 6 and the clock has to be at 6.
I'm going to do that. Catch a pretty morning. I'm going to bring you some coffee. And
hey,
this is great.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah, it's a fun place. It's fun and nice people here. Really.
Yeah.
It really is. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it. But, you know,
and thanks for recognizing a little farm and a horse like that. It's really, it's pretty amazing.
Well, it sounds like you've raised a bunch of good ones.
Well, I tell you, it's those hills.
Yeah.
We're
pretty hills.
I told her KMN was here. You know.
It is. That's what my farm was. It's just like this. It's good grass, but it's really hilly. You know, everybody feeds good, you know. Feeds good. There's got to... It's been they've always outrun their pedigrees, and I don't know.
Do you raise your own hay?
No. No, I buy my hay from Indiana or Ohio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got pricey this year.
Yeah, it's hard to, you know, I buy as much local hay as I can, but with the rain, you know, it's hard to, I try to support everybody in Scott County. I mean, when they've got good hay, I buy it, but when we have a rainy year like we did last year, it was hard for them to get their hay up. We had so much good rain, a lot of good grass, but it was hard to get the hay up.
We didn't have to start haying until after the first year.
I know, it's
good.
Lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, I wish you'd do that every year. That saves you a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because hay can get really expensive.
Yeah, it's getting pretty expensive now because they didn't, you know, they had so much rain, so they didn't get that last cutting they usually get.
Yeah. All righty. Well, thanks, Catherine. Oops, I'm running late here for a commercial.
Sorry.
You want a Coke, something before you leave?
Fine.
Want a donut?
No, I better pass on this.
Well, if you're going to stay slim and trim, stay away from them. Yeah, there you go. Thanks for coming by, Catherine. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. Well, Miz and Mass concluded 2011 by siring his third Grade 1 stakes winner. That was Ultimate Eagle. Winner of the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby. Winner earlier, the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby. Winner of 4 of his 8 starts. Three placings for earnings of over $347,000. Miz and Mass earlier Grade 1 stakes winners are Mass Track. Earner of more than $928,000. Midships, winner of nearly $556,000. Now, Miz and Mass has already sired two graded stakes horses in 2012. Miz Direction has won the Grade 3 Monrovia Stakes at Santa Anita, and the three-year-old colt, Z Dagger, just missed in the Grade 3 LeCompte at the fairgrounds the other day. Miz Direction won stakes at Del Mar last fall and placed in three other stakes, including Grade 2 stakes at Keeneland and at Del Mar. Z Dagger stamped himself as a colt to watch in the LeCompte. He closed with a rush to drop a photo decision. He's being pointed to the Grade 2 Louisiana Derby. Miz and Mass sires runners. There is always another Miz and Mass. That's why he sired 2007 sales offerings, which sold for $350,000, $240,000, $210,000, $172,000, $140,000, $135,000. Stud fee, $12,500 live foal. Miz and Mass at Judmont Farm, home also of the Grade 1 stakes winner and genetic masterpiece First Defense. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry, and see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Grade 1 Santa Monica Handicap was won by Home Sweet Aspen, a four-year-old filly bred by Sidney and Jenny Craig, raised at Hillendale Farm, a valiant client of McCauley Brothers. McCauley Associates have raised graded stakes winners starting January 1 for five consecutive weekends. And congratulations also to Gainesway Farm. Breeders in partnership with the 707 Stables of Redding Colliery, winner that same day of the Eden and the Tire Stakes at Aqueduct. So after raising the winners of 110 graded stakes winners in 2011, that's better than two a week, Associates of McCauley Brothers are off to a great start in 2012. Numbered among those graded stakes winners last year were 24 individual Grade 1 stakes winners. McCauley Brothers, the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse, is proud to be associated with many of the world's finest horsemen. To join the winning club, just call Darrell Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333. Stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. McCauley Brothers, where it's all about the horse. I want to say a good word about my friend Jim. I wonder if they're Jim Fitzgerald, not Griffin Farm, one of his farms. Of course, he got Harper's Island Farm, too. I wonder if they're fox hunting today. It's a miserable day, but that usually doesn't bother fox hunters. They're crazy in hell anyway. But Jim is a superior horseman, came up under top horsemen, learned his lessons well, came up under people like Michael Osmond and John Williams over at Spencer's and Lee Eaton. So now he owns two great farms, not Griffin. He's had that now since 1994. And Harper's Island, he recently developed that one, beautiful place. And they're not 10 minutes apart anyway. Got quality help. Wouldn't tolerate anything but top horsemen. So it's a great facility for boarding or sales prep. Sales, either private or public. Rehab, you name it, they can do it, and they do it first class. With Jim Fitzgerald. So he can just give you some good sound advice if you're looking for that. Let me give Jim's phone number. It's a Bourbon County number, 859-987-8032. And let me give you his website. It's notgriffinfarm.com. Let me spell that for you. KNOCKGRIFFINFarm.com.
She's
all right, Jackie. Now, you sitting over there eating. Do you want to continue with your announcements?
What?
I sure will.
I'm going to eat a donut. Do you have a donut, Ressie? No?
Yes, he has.
No, he's already had one.
This is apple. This is custard, and that's chocolate.
I'm going to take the custard because it's got chocolate on top.
Yeah. It'll look nicer on your shirt when it squirts out.
Thank you.
Okay, what's going on at the horse park? Today is Snowball Series Mounted Games, and of course the exhibit, The Horse, is still going. They say it's just brilliant. Now, the horse park is dark on Mondays and Tuesdays now, but the other 5 days, it's just $10 now to get in. That's up until March when it go back to the regular price. Indoor polo every Tuesday and Thursday. Well, if they're dark on Tuesday, I guess you just have to know where to go in and watch polo. The only thing that's coming up in this month, oh, are you ready for this? 18th, KHS, Kentucky High School. Some kind of wrestling's going on out there. But Snowbird Dressage is going on. That's Julie Congleton and friends. And they're going to have the week after that a new homes and remodeling marketplace. So Pony Club and clinics and stuff like that really get started next month. But Snowbird Dressage is worth going out. What you do is you give them a couple of bucks. You go through a test of your choosing, and they grade you. And it's worth it. It's very nice. TOBA, Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders, is announcing their ownership seminars. May 3rd in Louisville, of course, right by the Derby, will be an ownership seminar. Breeding clinic June 1st through the 3rd here in Lexington, about the end of the breeding season. Pedigree and confirmation clinic will be next fall, and it will also be in Lexington. Some guy from India, I wouldn't even really want to try to say his name, Raj Bhavan, something or another, from Manipur, India, has donated a gift of traditional Manipuri polo gear from India. So that's a very nice thing. If you're interested, you can go out and check that out. Let's see, Kentucky Dressage Association. They are going to have a clinic in April at Prospect. Now, let me see. This thing's over. Race for Education is taking new applications for the 2012-23 academic year. The deadline for some of them is the end of this month. Some of them are later. But this one, let's see, which one is up pretty good? Thoroughbred Scholarship, multiple awards, up to $6,000 a year. Deadline's February 28th. For more information, theraceforeducation.org. No, it's not the. Raceforeducation.org, or call them, 252-8648. And free gelding surgeries for horses offered at the Kentucky Horse Park March 10th. And if you are interested, call 233-4305 for additional information and an application. Thoroughbred Horse Show Association is having a big show at the Horse Park April 14th and 15th. They're going to have another one in the fall. These things are open to thoroughbreds who are registered with the Jockey Club. This is a boost for life after racing for thoroughbreds. Masterson Station Park, that we all love out on Leestown, I don't know another city that has a specific park, a nice-sized park set aside for riding. It's really nice, all kind of rings and stuff. But look at a day like today, how nasty is this? You can go out there and ride in their indoor arena. It is open Thursdays, Saturdays, and Sundays. You have to call and make a reservation so that it's open then when you want to go. Call George at 253-0328. It's $15 an hour, $25 for two or more riders, but that's as pricey as it gets. You have to clean up when you leave. But that's 253-0328, where you go on a day like this. Nasty. Now, if your trailer needs a repair, I'd have just the place to have it fixed. Sally Vans. I don't know anybody that'd be more qualified to fix trailers. Good Lord, there can't be anything they don't know about horse trailers at Sally Vans. So give them a call and talk to a guy named Ben Eversole. Now, I've got his cell phone. 513 is Cincinnati phone, isn't it? See, that's why I don't know. Just call Sally Van and ask for Ben Eversole. That's the best way to do it, because that seems like a long distance kind of a thing. Riding passes for Shaker Village are $10 a month. It's $10 to ride there. So if you want to go ahead and get one every month. Now, it's February, so they're $110 for the rest of the year. So they take off $10 a month. Want to mention my friend, Lee Clark, who painted our barns and painted the fences and repaired stuff. He's over in Winchester. He does a great job. I'll give you his specializes in barns and fences, reasonable rates, and that's the truth. His cell number is 333-1102. And Rusty's grinning there because Rusty used to do that stuff. Actually, you worked for him, right, Russ?
Yeah.
Cracks me up. Okay, let's see. Dressage is that's way down the road. I've already said that. Oh, friends, we're out here at the Thoroughbred Training Center. Great place to train horses, but it's also a wonderful place if you want to have a party, a wedding, a divorce, a bar mitzvah. What else do people celebrate?
A divorce?
I celebrate
Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl.
You have a Super Bowl party out here. Well, we had a funeral here Didn't they have a funeral for somebody down in the back once?
Not that I know of.
Oh, wonder what I was looking at.
I don't know.
I don't know, but the casket was closed. So, but anyway, it's a great place. They have help. They have people that will help you.
We came to a wedding party out here.
Yeah. Well, we've been to a couple things. Bar association stuff and different.
Yeah.
Different businesses will have their meetings here because they can cater it. They can have it catered for you, all kind of good stuff. So it's 293-1853. Call up and say hey to Miss Ann. And
she'll steer you in the right direction.
She'll steer you all right. All right.
All righty. Well, it didn't take DeHare long to demonstrate the fact that he's going to Cy Runners. Retired late in the breeding season. He was the Cy of only six foals in his first test crop. Three of the six have started now. Two of them have won the third place. The runners are Gypsy Robin, winner of her first start at Keeneland by a length and a half in record time, and also the $101,000 sorority stakes at Monmouth Park. Multiple allowance winner Castella and KU, second at the fairgrounds on January 19th in his first start around two turns, so watch for him. So, look for more runners by DeHare in 2012 because there are more on the way. DeHare won the Grade 1 Cigar Mile and won 33-3, a 114 buyer. Won the Grade 2 Jerome and won 34-1 for a 110 buyer. And he's one of 11 Grade 1 Stakes winners by Awesome Again. He's also a full brother to the Grade 1 Stakes winner Spun Sugar from a family loaded with superior stakes winners. Now, DeHare stands at Shadwell Farm. Fee is $7,500 live foal. Inquiries to the stallion manager, that's Kent Barnes, my friend Kent Barnes, and see the website at ShadwellFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at PrisNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, last Saturday at Oaklawn, the King Cotton Stakes was won by Riley Tucker, son of Harlan's Holiday. Riley Tucker is a typical Harlan's Holiday. Sold as a yearling for $375,000, he's earned more than $625,000 to date. He won the Grade 3 Aristide Stakes at Churchill, and he is placed in 10 other stakes, 7 graded, including the Grade 1 Vosburg, and graded stakes at Saratoga, Arlington, Oaklawn, Belmont, 2 at Keeneland. Last year, Harlan's Holiday was the Sire of 10 stakes winners, and the earners are more than $5,303,000. And he's a proven sire of Grade 1 Stakes winners. In fact, he's sired 8 Grade 1 Stakes horses to date. Harlan's Holiday sires runners, and that's why he was the sire of 22 individuals that brought more than $100,000 in sales last year. Harlan's Holiday was bred to 160 mares in 2010, 158 mares in 2011, and he stands for $25,000. Doing a full stands in nurses, there's a 5% discount if you pay the fee by November 1 of year bred. Inquiries to Jerry Duffy or to Jenny Barnett at Windstar Farm, 873-1717. And see the website at windstarfarm.com. Alrighty, well, I am going to talk a little bit about Restless Wind. I've been reviewing the racing year of 1958, and these are the two-year-olds, and I'm just doing the top weights here. I'm down to Restless Wind. It may be the last one that I do, 1958 two-year-olds, and move on to the three-year-olds. Of course, Tim Tam won the Derby the next year. Restless Wind was a chestnut colt. He was by Windy City the second out of Lump Sugar by Bull Lee. And he was assigned 120 pounds on the experimental handicap. That was equal with a toll and a crafty skipper. Of course, the top weight was First Landing, Chris Pacherny's turn two colt, First Landing, at 128. Tommy Lee, one of my all-time favorite horses. He was an imported son of Tudor Minstrel, who won the Derby next year. So I'll be able to talk about him when I go to 1959. And they were both. He was in with 126. Dunce. Kamet Farms, Fabian Farms Dunce, son of Tom Fool, was with 123, equal with Intentionally, who went on to greater things at stud. He wasn't by intent, the old man of war line. 122 was Sword Dancer, and then down to Atoll, Crafty Skipper, and Restless Wind. Atoll, Restless Wind, was bred by Mrs. Marie A. Moore, who owned High Hope Farm in Virginia, not the one out on the old Frankfort Pike. She was the breeder record. However, M. Kirk Snyder, who used to own Riverside Farm, down close to Clay's Ferry down there, and he was a part owner of the mare. And Restless Wind, when he was sold at Saratoga, he was consigned by Riverside Farm. He was in that consignment, and he was purchased there by Mrs. Elizabeth Person. Then, at that time, she was Mrs. Richard Lund, and he was trained by Horatio Luro. And later on by Chuck Whittingham, Charles Whittingham, I should say. I got a Ron Pellegrini loaned me a book on Jackie's looking at right now. I've got to read that. It's a biography of Charlie Whittingham. So I'm looking forward to reading that. Thank you, Ron. Restless Wind made his first start at Gulfstream on March the 21st, going 3/8 mile. He broke poorly, and he bore in, and he ran fourth to a horse named Easy Spur, who was by Crowfoot. I don't know if you all remember Crowfoot or not, but he stood down in Bourbon County, and he was the sire of Jamie Kay and Nell Kay. They were full brothers and full sisters. He stood on a farm which is right on the outskirts of Paris now, on 460, inside the Beltway, the bypass out there. If you turn off the bypass and go toward town, on the right, down there, that's where Crowfoot stood. Aha! That little bit of tidbit of information and a dollar gets you a cup of coffee, won't it? 3 weeks later, he finished first in a 5-furlong maiden race. He swerved in and was impeded by First Landing. And he impeded First Landing, and then it moved him back to second. And he didn't run again for a couple of months, and he broke his maiden finally by 6 lengths going down the Widener Chute at Belmont Park. On June the 16th in the National Stallion Stakes, once again down the Widener course, he won by head over First Minister, who I believe was by Primate Watcher, or Staff, a son of Citation, ran third. Once again, he drifted out. They tried blinking for him in his next start, and the odd kind of a blinker, it was completely open on the offside and a cut down on the rail side. Anyway, it helped him. Why, I don't know, but he won by 8 and held a straight course for the first time. Then he won the Tremont Stakes on July the 9th, beating Dark Prince and Royal Anthem. Can't remember who Dark Prince was by, but the Royal Anthem was by Spy Song. Shoemaker came in from California to ride him in the Sapling Stakes, which was run at Monmouth Park on July the 24th that year. Went off at even money. And Watch Your Step, the son of Citation, led all the way to win it. Intentionally ran second. And so he got beat 4.5 lengths in a neck and ran third. And we're talking about Restless Wind, of course. So they sent him over to Chicago. And this is where Charlie Whittingham took over his training. And I don't know, in spite of it, because of, or anyway, he won 3 stakes during the month of August. On August the 2nd, he won the Arlington Futurity, going 6 furlongs, won by 3/4 length, over Dunce, his son of Tom Fool. Dunce went off as a favorite. He hadn't run in stakes, but he was coming off a really impressive win in the Allowance Company in Chicago. With 4-5, Restless Wind was 4-5 for the Prairie State Stakes, run on August the 18th, and he'd be demobilized. Demobilized was he was also by intent. Beat him by 1.5 lengths. Came back on the 30th of August in the Washington Park for Turdy, and he won by neck over Winsome Winter, Demobilized ran third. Ran 3/4 in 10 and 3. That equaled the stakes record that was set by Swoon Son. And it was just 1/4 of a second off the track record, which was held by Hill Gale. Calumet's Hill Gale by Bull Lee. Went back up east, and he stumbled leaving the gate for the Cowden Stakes and lost all chance. Shoemaker was riding him. He didn't punish him. He just rode him out and let him gallop along. Went to the Champagne Stakes, and he was 4th, got beat by First Landing, Tommy Lee, and Intentionally. They all ended up being ranked above him on the experimental handicap. On October the 10th, he ran 2nd in a 1-mile prep race for the Garden State Stakes. It was won by Rico Tezio, who was a son of Royal Charger. Royal Charger's imported horse, of course, standing over at Spendthrift Farm. Then in the Garden State Stakes, he drew the outside post position in a field of 13 and was never in the hunt. Finished 9th, got beat about 28 lengths. First Landing won it, and that secured him the 2-year-old championship. Sent him down to Hialeah on December the 30th. The groom noticed a considerable swelling on his side of his neck. He was running a temperature of about 102, which isn't too much, but there you go. And Dr. W.O. Reed decided that he'd been bitten by a spider or a scorpion or some such thing, and gave him a massive doses of antibiotics and told him to advise him to let up on him and not to run him, take him out of training, as a matter of fact, and let him recover. And it would be several weeks before he came back. So that's how he ended his 3-year-old season. Once again, restless wind was by Windy City the second, who had been the champion 2-year-old in England in 1951. He was sired by Wyndham, who was by Blenheim the second. And he was out of a mare by the Satrap. And he had won the Jim Crack Stakes and the Phoenix Park Stakes over there as a 2-year-old on a way to a championship form. Came over here and he won the San Felipe, and he was favored to win the Santa Anita Derby. I believe that was his last start. I think he pulled up bad. I saw that race, as a matter of fact. Hillgale beat him. I bet on Hillgale that day. At that time, I was in the service and had hitchhiked down from San Francisco to Santa Anita to see that particular race. And I bet on Hillgale. As a matter of fact, I bet on 6 winners that day and flew back to San Francisco. Spent it all just doing that, you know. But you could fly that real cheap at that time. Windy City went to stud over at Crown Crest Farm. That's Howard and Helen Reinemann's place, which is now part of Dixiana. It changed into Domino, and now it's back to Dixiana. It was originally Dixiana anyway. And he sired some pretty good horses. He sired Blue Norther, who won the 1964 Kentucky Oaks, beating Miss Cavendish. Miss Cavendish was by Cavan, who had won the Belmont Stakes, beating Tim Tam, incidentally. And went to stud over to the Stallion Station. He sat Process Shot, who was a really tough mare. She won 20 races, won the Black Eyed Susan, won the Washington Lassie as a 2-year-old, won the Barbara Fritchie. He sat a pretty good stakes winner over in Ireland, On Your Mark, and Tumblewind was by him. He won the Hollywood Derby. And anyway, that is the story. And I guess that's the last 2-year-old that I will do from 1958. Well, if you haven't checked into Spendthrift Farm Breed Secure Program, you should. It's a win-win program for breeders. It applies to many of the, I think it applies to 3 of the stallions standing over at Spendthrift Farm. Not many of them, but 3 of them. But one of them is Into Mischief, that's for sure. And who's first foal is going to race this year? Now, Into Mischief is a grade 1 stakes winner by Harlan's Holiday, who sired another stakes winner just last Saturday when Riley Tucker won the King Cotton Stakes at Oaklawn. Earlier in his career, Riley Tucker had won stakes at Churchill Downs, placed in grade 1 stakes, and Riley Tucker has earned over $625,000 now. Harlan's Holiday sired 8 grade 1 runners, and prominent among them is Into Mischief. Into Mischief won the grade 1 cash call for Tuitt as a 2-year-old, at the direct expense of the grade 1 stakes winner, Colonel John. Now, this after he'd sprinted 6.5 furlongs and won 14-1 to break his maiden at Santa Anita. And in 3 starts at 3 in the Mischief, ran second to a world record holder in the Grade 1 Malibu, second to a Grade 1 winner in the Grade 2 San Vicente. And then after a several-month layoff, he came back in the Damascus Stakes at Santa Anita, who actually was Oak Tree, sprinted 7 furlongs and won 20-1. And he beat a field that included 5 graded stakes winners, 3 of them were Grade 1 winners. In the Mischief stands for $7,500, due in the full stands of nurses. And to learn more about the program's Breed Secure program over at Spendthrift Farm, and they've got some great breeding programs over there, so give Ken Wilkins a call, or Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toffee. The phone number over at Spendthrift Farm is 294-0030, or you can check their website. It's a good website, spendthriftfarm.com.
The horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do.
All righty. You over there reading Charlie about Charlie?
Yeah. Whittingham? He was from San Diego.
Yeah, he was an old Marine, you know.
Yeah, they talk about the Marine stuff. There's a lot of good pictures, too.
Somebody was telling me a story that this kid had just been discharged from the Marines. And, of course, he had that, you know how the Marines get their haircut.
Yeah.
And he'd gone to the stable gate there at Santa Anita. He was hoping to get a job, and they wouldn't let him in or anything because he didn't have a license to come aboard. You know, so he was standing out front, and Charlie Whittingham pulled up and saw him, pulled over and says, "Hey, boy, you in the Marines?" He says, "No, sir, I was just discharged. What are you doing here?" He says, "Well," he says, "I'm looking for a job." He says, "Well, get in, you got one."
Love it.
Yeah, isn't that a good story?
That's great.
They take care of themselves now.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so they let him in with Charlie Whittingham, you know.
That's super.
Yeah, those the old-timers.
Yeah.
You know what? Tommy Asbury stopped by here to see me just, I think it was day before yesterday or Wednesday. I hadn't seen Tommy in years, and it was just really good to see him. I knew his dad. That's Hedgewood Farm, you know. His dad had was one of the original directors of the old breeder sales, which preceded it evolved into the Keenan sales, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a funny thing. I've been thinking about Charlie. I shouldn't call him Charlie. He's been gone for a long time, but. Charles Asbury, but he was, what a nice man he was. And Tom is nobody any nicer than Tom. And Tom, believe it or not, is older than me in grade.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
I wish I'd been here.
She likes the older men.
Just teasing, dear.
Anyway, he looks great. And it's funny that I hadn't seen Tom in quite a while. And then
and thought
he came
about him, and here he came.
Yeah, and I was thinking about his dad.
Yeah.
You know, they used to have that, the old breeder sales building was on High Street. Now, the Blood Horse was on High Street, east of Limestone. And if you walk west of them, before you got to Limestone on the right, that's where that office was.
Uh-huh.
The breeder sales was in there, and a Daily Racing Form was in there. Daily Racing Form down on the bottom floor, and Mickey McGuire was in there, and Rex Potter. I think Rex was an Australian. Oh, they're playing getting out music. He had a CPA firm. You could always get a highball in there for about 5 o'clock. I'll talk more about this later on.
Yeah, that's fun. The show is going to be up on UrsoEllis.com, our new website, courtesy of Lexington Computer Clinic. Got it.
Hamburg place.
Hamburg in the Myers building.
Yeah, you go in the Myers building and turn right.
Go down by the bank.
That's right. The bank's there, and then you're right next to it. And we're on at the regular time again next week. I think it's the 23rd. We'll be on a little bit early. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.